And this morning we'll return to the book of 1 Peter and to the conclusion of chapter 1 of Peter's epistle, Peter's first epistle. Remember that he is writing to Christians who had been scattered as exiles, he said. And he has told us that they have been persecuted for their faith in Jesus. But in the midst of their being persecuted and their being scattered and away from their home and in an uncomfortable calling in life, Peter reminds them and us that they are the elect, the chosen of God, whom he has known and loved since the beginning of creation, and that they are God's blessing to the earth. So in the midst of their misery and their hardship, God reminds them through Peter that they are right where they're supposed to be. There is no better place for them to be than in the midst of their being exiles and sojourners in a strange and uncomfortable land. And that alone is a good reminder for each of us. You might be in a strange and difficult setting of life and a difficult calling of life right now, but Peter's words would remind you, just as he did them, that you are right where you need to be in God's sovereign, controlling goodness in your life. And now this morning, as he concludes what for us is the end of chapter 1, he has a sobering reminder for them and for us. And in this whole service, you've heard it, I've set it up already with the scriptures we've heard. It's a sobering reminder that every one of us has an expiration date, just like the milk in the fridge. And I'm not intending to be overly sad, but I am preparing us for Easter next week, as Peter is preparing us for the hope of resurrection. So with all that in mind, and all these scriptures you've already heard about the number of our days being few and life being short, well, that's what Peter is reminding his hearers and what he's going to remind us of this morning. So give your attention, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 to 25. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Let's pray that God would help us understand and believe his word. Lord, would you sober the room this morning, each of us individually, with this truth, with this reminder of what is true for all of us. But Lord, would you also bolster us with gospel hope? And Lord, would you set our hearts and our attention towards the promise of Easter? And we ask this and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So you know where I'm going with all this, and the text makes it evident, all the scriptures that we've heard. Isaiah said it first in Psalm 40, which we've already heard. The psalmist repeats it. David in Psalm 73, Moses in Psalm 90, and now Peter iterates it himself, quoting from Isaiah, and every one of your experiences resonates with the same truth. And that is that what Scripture says, that life all around us, all of creation is telling the same story. It's the story of life and the cycle of death that follows life. It's this rhythm and dance between life and death. Life and death. All created things that live die. And it's all around us all the time, and creation is screaming that reality to us, but somehow we can just not think about it. We will make ourselves numb to it. We don't want to pay attention to what is so evident and so clear to every one of us. But all creation tells the story and the cycle of life and death. And no matter how much we try to suppress that truth, the mirror doesn't lie. It's happening. It is happening to every one of us. Age and time and decay, it's all testifying to the cycle and the story of life and death. In modern-day European-based folklore, death has been imaged as the Grim Reaper, that skeletal creature in a dark robe with a scythe, that instrument of reaping crops. Everyone can picture that. I didn't have it pictured up on the wall. I didn't want to scare any children. But in folklore, that's the image of death. It's the one who reaps. It's the one who comes for the dead grass or for the harvest of the fruit, that which is to be taken. And in our own experiences, we see this fear of death, this dread of death. Every experience with death is a horrible experience. And children learn this at a young age. You know, in God's good providence, He's given us the gift of pets. And I, as a child, enjoyed pets and loved pets. And for so many days, they were a joy. But then came the hurt of the loss of a pet. And that loss so profound, you know, losing our dog Brandy or our dog Trip, right? The pain that it brought could make a child in that moment say, I wish I'd never had any of the good memories because the one bad memory hurts so much, right? Some of you have lived through this, experienced this, or you will. How much more the loss of a human being and a loved one, a person created in the image of God. The sense of hurt, the sense of loss is profound. Everything around us is telling the story of the cycle of life and death. It's everywhere. Your potted plants are telling you this story. Your vegetable garden is telling you this story. The grass in your yard is telling you the same story, and we're to awaken to what it's telling us. There is an expiration date on all of creation, and that should sober us. But remember, the second half of Scripture is not just the story of life and death. The second half of the story that Scripture tells is the hope of resurrection to life. That is a unique Christian worldview. And you have sensed we are not ashamed of the Bible or of a Christian worldview at Greenwood Presbyterian Church. The Bible tells the story of how there are things that last forever. And Scripture names it as the Word of God. The promises of God are what last forever. Everything else withers and dies and decays and sags in time. But the promises of God, the Word of God, that alone is what lasts forever. So 3 points this morning. And this is all Christian worldview. This is how Peter would have these Christians think in the midst of their persecution. It's how God would have us think as we live our lives. And the first point is this. It is the gift of life. Recognizing that life is a precious gift. And God is the giver of it. From dust we were made. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. The Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. Life is a gift. God is the giver of it. He is the one who breathed it into unliving dust. And he fashioned a man, and from that man he would make the first woman. So two things that Peter would remind us about the gift of life, and that is that flesh is frail. and that life is fleeting. This is the same message as Psalm 93. It's the same message as Isaiah 40. It's Moses' message in Psalm 90. And that is that created things like grass, which by the way can flourish in certain seasons. In August, the grass in Greenwood and Abbeville counties is flourishing. If your mower has broken down in August, good luck getting on top of it because it is going to overwhelm you. It's flourishing. But give it just a few months, a few weeks even, and what was flourishing and strong and had to be tended to constantly turns brown and dry, and by December is lifeless. And that is the cycle that the Bible tells us about created things. Grass withers. Beautiful flowers. Some of you love flowers, and they can be so strong and flourishing and beautiful, but it's a short window of time. It's a little season before they start to wither and drop and droop and fade and lose their beauty. And the Bible is saying that's true of us. We will wither, we will droop over time. The flesh is frail. It has its season of beauty, but it eventually droops, dries like grass and like flowers. So the latest example of this, I think it was Friday, the Princess of Wales, a beautiful woman that the world celebrates. She announced to the world that their privacy, never mind the privacy, but we're dealing with something, and that was her own cancer diagnosis and the beginning of cancer treatment with chemotherapy. And she, in her comments, if you heard it, spoke of how shocked they were. And the whole world was shocked. But as Christian-thinking people, why are we always so shocked? This is what the Scriptures prepare us for. But we're always shocked. We're shocked with our own diagnoses and the diagnoses of those around us. But what is the Scripture telling us? Don't be shocked. Don't be surprised. This is the way of the flesh. The flesh fails. It is frail. It is weak. Death and disease are not respecters of persons. Death and disease are not respecters of persons. No king, no queen, no prince, no princess is free from the same threat and the ruin of sin of creation that every one of us is subjected to. Life is fleeting. And so the question is, does anything last forever? And some of you who are my age and grew up watching the things I did want to say, diamonds are forever. And so is Ric Flair. Right, Scott Pierce? That's what we grew up hearing. Diamonds are forever, and so is Ric Flair. Woo! Right? And we love that as kids. But it's just not true, right? It's God's word and God's promises that are forever. I remember it was just a few years ago, and I think I've told you this story, and there's just a lot of them. But I was on a trip. I was probably 7 years ago, early one morning, and I stopped in Lawrence at a McDonald's and ran in to get a cup of coffee, and there was a young man working the counter, and I ordered a coffee, and in my mind, the guy's 20-something, I see him as my peer, and he was, you know, athletic, strong, young man, I see him as my peer, and I ordered a coffee. And do you know what he said to me? He said, "Senior coffee?" And I thought to myself, what? And then I realized, I don't know what their age is for senior coffee, but I might be eligible for 25 cents off of this cup of coffee. But I remember, that was the first time I felt the splash of cold water in my senior coffee. Are you kidding me? And then it may have been before then, I have an older brother. He's two years older than me. He's always been a head taller than me. And someone who we both knew asked us when we were standing together, who's older? And I thought to myself, and we're both in our 40s, and I'm like, is it not obvious? He is a whopping 2 years older than I am, because I still see myself through that lens. And some of you have had that experience. So it's happening, right? The mirror doesn't lie. Age is happening to all of us. You parents, some of you have measuring boards for your children at home, and you love to hit the tick marks and see them go up. And it moves so slowly for a while, right? But then they start eating so much, and that thing will jump 12 inches in a year. And eventually they'll reach the point where they're taller than you are, and they wear your shoes. They start wearing your shoes. Or now, I don't have the biggest feet in my family anymore. And all of that is testifying to something, right? This is all moving somewhere, y'all. There is an expiration date for us all. And there are seasons of growth and flourishing. And then comes a season of decline and of withering. And we should not be surprised by it. None of us. We have to constantly remind ourselves, this is what God has said is true of His creation. And if that was the only thing that was true, we could be in despair. But we have a full story, a full Christian worldview of life and of death and of the hope of resurrection. But the second point is the hardest point, and that is the curse of death. That is the condition that the world lives under. It is the promise of God. It is the condition of the earth. From dust we were made, and to dust we will return. There is no surprise. To dust our bodies will return. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 18 to 20. As for humans, God tests them so that they may see that they are like the animals. Surely the fate of human beings is like that of the animals. The same fate awaits them both. As one dies, so dies the other. All have the same breath. All go to the same place. All come from dust, and to dust all return. There are no surprises. This is the curse of the world, the curse of sin in which we live. And so we should not be surprised as this proves itself to be true all around us. It is the unavoidable coming condition for all of us. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. All are destined to die once. That's the promise of Scripture. And we're not afraid of it. We shouldn't be in despair. Some of you know, I grew up loving the movie What About Bob? So many quotable scenes from that movie, but one of my favorite is the character Siggy Marvin, the son of Dr. Leo Marvin, who is always wearing black. And by the way, I'm wearing my black shirt today because of the nature of what I'm speaking of. But Siggy Marvin is the young, not even a teenager, I think he's 11 years old, and he has come to the point in his childhood that he realizes everything dies. And he is having existential crisis. What is the point of even learning how to swim, he says. What is the point of even learning how to sail? Because he says, I am going to die. You are going to die. We are all going to die, and there's no way out of it. It's going to happen. And who cares if it's tomorrow or in 80 years? Do you know how fast time goes? I was 6 like yesterday, he says. And then Bob says, me too. And that is a beautiful capture of what we live in, which is, it's true. I was 6 just the other day. But it is true. We are all going to die. Everything around us is caught under that judgment of sin. It's a created thing, and it will perish. But we're not defined by that if our faith is in Jesus. We're defined by Him, by His power, by His promises, which are the Word of God. And so we do not despair. We have hope. Siggy captures the despair of the lost, but he doesn't capture the true reality of a Christian worldview. Listen, death is all around us. I have all these examples, illustrations, and quotes. I just have to use them. But those of you my age who grew up knowing who Carl Weathers was, he died this year. You saw that. And you see that. And there couldn't be a more fit, more athletic human being than Carl Weathers. And he's gone the way of all the earth. Toby Keith. Toby Keith gone recently. That wasn't that long ago. It was just the other day. Listen to Toby Keith every day of my country living life. I was at a pastor's conference the previous week, the Coram Deo Pastor's Conference, and one of the most moving moments of it was before each session, they would play an audio clip of a few sentences spoken, profound speech from theologians like R.C. Sproul, who is no longer with us, but would have been a keynote speaker at a conference like that, or James Montgomery Boyce, who's no longer with us, but would have been a keynote speaker at a conference like that. And then in our midst, we had Dr. John Piper. And you couldn't help but wonder, does he realize, as the elder statesman in the room, that it may be him on the board in the years to come? It's coming for all of us. In our own Presbyterian Church in America in the past year, the loss of Tim Keller, the loss of Harry Reeder. Death and disease are no respecter of persons. And it would be good for us to remember that. It was the Robert Erskine Patrick Jr. who said to me one day, "You do know none of us is getting out of here alive, don't you?" That was my dad, as he was fighting cancer. And he could laugh about it with us. And I laugh about that with my children. We'll quote those things all the time. You do know none of us is getting out of here alive, don't you? We have a Christian worldview. We understand that we're caught in this cycle of life and death. But we have the hope of resurrection. We are Christian thinking people. Stephen McElpine has an article. He's an Australian pastor. He has an article written that says, "When death starts to take our friends." And there's a certain age when your friends start to die. And I'm in that age range. I've lost a college roommate. I've lost two high school classmates. And I've had that moment of, whoa, how is this all of a sudden starting to happen? And some of you have been there. Some of you are getting there. But this is what he says in that article. And what started this article for him was the loss of Matthew Perry, the Friends, one of the stars in the 90s comedy of Friends. He says, "Matthew Perry, a star in Friends of the 1990s, suddenly died, shocking his fans. His death should sober us all. It reminds us again of the fleeting nature of life and the fading nature of beauty. Saint Jerome has been painted with a skull on his desk. It was his reminder that life is short, that death is imminent. Not to be morose, but all of us should think this way, remembering how fleeting and frail life truly is." Josh Manley read two little booklets on death this past week. Josh Manley says this to pastors. See if you agree with this, by the way. "You should encourage your congregation to meditate on death. It may sound strange. Death is the one topic most people, even Christians, try to avoid. But your remembering death, your having death awareness, helps us not grasp for the short-lived pleasures of life, but to live wisely, enjoying life as a gift, while remaining conscious of time and longing for something better, which is yet to come." Do you agree with that? I do. I think we need to talk about death. so that when your pets die, you have a Christian worldview ready to speak to it, to your children, ready to interpret it for yourself. And as the people around you, even the friends around you, begin to live through diagnosis of disease and death, you have a worldview to interpret it all. That we're not surprised by any of it, but find that it is fulfilling exactly what the Scriptures say is true. There's a book called On Death and Dying, and I've shared it with some of our elders at our last meeting. But it is a book that seeks to prepare aging Christians for the reality of death. And again, it hates to sound so morose, but this is how we learn to think as Christians. And it was written by a pastor, a PCA pastor, and one of his elders who is a medical doctor. But in that little booklet, it says this: the essence of wisdom is to prepare for death, to reckon with its impending reality, to make ready for it, and to live in the light of it. Given that we will die, it is foolish to live ignoring it or pretending that our bodies will live forever. And I think that's right. That's thinking like a Christian about the reality of the world, the fallen world in which we live. We don't live in despair. We don't live in a sense of empty loss. But we live, the other end of that Christian worldview, is the hope of resurrection. We see death in light of Easter. We see death in the light of resurrection. And that is the hope of resurrection, that from dust we were made, to dust we will return, until all things are made new. And that's the continuing promise of Scripture. Listen to Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 5. John says that then he saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And then I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And that is the conclusion of a Christian worldview. We are caught in this cycle of life and death. That from dust we were made and to dust we will return. But the story for those who have faith in Jesus carries on. It continues on. That the God of promise has said a day is coming where he will change that cycle of life and death. And he will put death to death forever. The death of death in the death of Christ is how the Puritan John Owen put it. And so do you have that full-orbed Christian worldview that's based on Scripture, right? That we're caught in the cycle of life and death, but we are awaiting the day, the ultimate promised day, where God says he's changing it all. For those who have faith in Jesus, it will be resurrection to life everlasting. For those whose faith is not in Jesus, it is eternal judgment and damnation. For they will be judged for their works and not having holiness. And the only holiness we have is not of our own doing, it's our faith in Jesus that justifies us. God's word and promises, that is our only true hope. His word and his promises, that alone is what lasts forever. That's a Christian worldview. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, we heard it says, it's destined for man to die once and then to face judgment. And that's how the worldview flows. That's how it carries on. The Apostle Paul spoke to this subject in 1 Corinthians 15, a text we'll hear next week on Easter. But listen to verses 54 to 58. Picking up on the same language as Peter, by the way, where he says that the world is perishable, but we've been born again into what is imperishable. Paul says, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Amen. Can you think like a Christian? Can you face disease and diagnosis and death like a Christian? Not that you're eager to run into disease and diagnosis and death, but by faith you can stand and believe in the promises of God, the Word of God, that my flesh and my heart will fail, but God is my portion forever. His Word, His promise, it's all we ever had. It's all we ever had, but it's all we've ever needed. Do you believe that? By faith. That's what the gospel would tell us. That's where our hope is. That's where our trust must be. And if our faith is in Jesus as the one who forgives sin, who has power over death, then singing a hymn like the one we're about to sing, I want you to hear the truths and understand what we're singing when we say them. But the hymn, Abide With Me, Henry Light captures this gospel confidence that we're hearing about in these words. And surely I printed them. I did, I think. And I did not. But on the back of your, they would be right here. That's why I didn't print them. Listen to the third stanza. I fear no foe, and by the way, death is the ultimate foe. I fear no foe with thee at hand to bless. Ills, disease, have no weight, and tears, no bitterness. Where is death's sting? Where, grave, thy victory? I triumph still, if thou abide with me. Do you hear that confidence? Listen, if you're living under the sentence of diagnosis of disease, there's a gospel confidence for you to sing at your disease. And that is, no foe, even death itself, has power over you, because God's word endures forever. His promises, they endure forever. His promises are all we've ever had. They are all that we ever need. And by faith, we hold on to those. And Peter says, this is the word that was preached to you. The grass withers, the flowers fall. It's the word of God that endures forever. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word, and sometimes we find it so hard to believe. But Lord, if it's not true, what hope do we have? Because we see the cycle of life and death that we are trapped in. But Lord, your word does endure forever. Your promise endures forever. So Lord, would you abide with us And may we abide in you. And may we hold fast to these promises, even as they hold fast to us. We ask it, we pray it together in Jesus' name. Amen.